You're listening to the Winsight Podcast Network.
Take your industry insights to the next level by becoming a restaurant business subscriber. Go to restaurantbusinessonline.com, click on the blue subscribe button in the upper right-hand corner, enter promo code PODCAST23, that's PODCAST23, to get your first month of RB Basic for free. After promo period, current rates apply. And now, please enjoy this episode of Menu Feed.
Welcome to Menu Feed, a weekly podcast from Restaurant Business and Food Service Director. I'm Pat Kobe, Senior Editor covering menu, food, drink, and chefs for both brands. Joining me on the podcast is Andrew Ashmore, corporate chef and partner at Beatrix in Chicago. Beatrix is an all-day casual restaurant operated by Let Us Entertain You Enterprises and has 5 locations in the Chicagoland area. Breakfast and brunch are the busiest day parts, with guests crowding in to dine on house-baked breads and pastries, creative egg dishes, healthy vegetarian options, and a wide selection of handcrafted cocktails. But Beatrix is also a popular destination for dinners that feature chef-driven entrees that won't break the bank. Listen as Andrew describes how his culinary journey landed him with Let Us Entertain You, how he is upgrading the menu with new seasonal items, how a revitalized catering program is really taking off, and what he is planning for 2024 and beyond. Welcome, Andrew. It's so nice of you to join me on the podcast.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's begin by you telling me about the culinary journey that brought you to Let Us Entertain You and Beatrix. What was your education and, you know, some of the jobs you had along the way?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I was in high school trying to figure out what I wanted to do next in my life and go to college or this or that. And I got a job washing dishes in a mom and pop Italian restaurant. And I just caught the restaurant bug. I loved every moment of it, as crazy as that sounds. Back then, we didn't have, you know, these fancy dishwashing machines and everything. Everything was a 3-compartment sink. Mm. And, you know, I was doing it all by hand and making it happen back there in this hot kitchen. And I just quickly worked my way up, started helping toss pizza pies and plate desserts and make salads. And it was awesome because it was, you know, I was working with the owners on a daily basis, and it really just inspired me to want to learn more and learn more about the industry. So I grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and while I was working there, I started going to culinary school in downtown Grand Rapids at Grand Rapids Community College, and I worked full-time and got a couple associate's degrees, and then quickly realized that, you know, Grand Rapids, Michigan, while it was a great place to grow up, it was a small town, and I wanted something bigger and that sort of thing. So I moved out to Las Vegas with a buddy of mine and my brother. And my brother was in between concert tours, and my buddy didn't have anything going on. So I'm like, hey, I'm moving to Vegas, guys, if you want to come with me. So we all just moved out there, didn't have jobs. And I got my start at the Hard Rock Hotel Casino at Carrie Simon's Simon Kitchen and Bar.
Right.
And just started working my way up. I became a sous chef. I worked my way over to AJ Steakhouse and started working in fine dining steakhouses. I was there for a while as a sous chef. And then I opened up Strip Steak in Mandalay Bay, Michael Mina's first steakhouse concept. And I loved it. I loved working with this, you know, A5 Wagyu beef and all these expensive ingredients. And I really enjoyed every moment. And I don't know, I guess they saw something in me because they offered me a position to be the chef de cuisine of the first bourbon steak in Detroit. So it's kind of an offshoot of his Michael Mina's first bourbon steak. And now they have, I don't know, 7 or 8 of them throughout the country.
Right.
And it was in this brand new MGM Grand Casino in downtown Detroit. And I was a part of this big property opening and opening 2 restaurants. And it was a lot of fun and a lot of hard work. And then from there, I the recession hit, and I decided that Detroit was maybe not the best place to be. And I hooked up with Sam Fox and Fox Restaurant Concepts out in Phoenix.
Oh, wow.
And I opened up Modern Steak. And so continued on that high-end steakhouse thing. And then from there, I worked with for Sam Fox and their team in a couple different restaurants, the Greenhouse, the Arrogant Butcher, and then eventually became a brand chef overseeing multiple restaurants. And every few months, we'd open a new restaurant or I'd take on another responsibility. And by the time I left there, I oversaw 10 restaurants and like five or six different concepts and was just really enjoying what I was doing. And then my wife and I had our son, and mm-hmm. we decided we wanted to be back to the Midwest, closer to home, but maybe not too close. So I ended up in Chicago, and I was working with this hotel development company called White Lodging, based out of Merrillville, Indiana. I was their corporate R&D chef, and it was a lot of fun. I was working this test kitchen, just making new food every single day. I just turn on the music and cook every day and, you know, make people happy, and it was so much fun. And through that process is kind of how my lettuce connection happened. So White Lodging at the time was working with Lettuce Consulting Group. And so the Lettuce Consulting team would come down and be a part of my food tastings and that sort of thing. And I would cook for them and I started to get to know their team. Rich Melman invited me to spend a little time in his test kitchen in Chicago. And it was just a start of a relationship, which was really cool. And after a few years with them, I realized I wanted to get back into like an independent restaurant group. Hotels were great, but I wanted a restaurant group that was just all about food, and that was their main focus, you know. And I gave you know, Rich Meldman and Mark Jacobs, who's the president of the division that I work in, a call and let them know that I was looking to do something different. And one thing led to another after I decided to make the move and ended up with Lettuce and Beatrix. So that's kind of how it all started.
Wow, that's a great story. I mean, you really worked for some of the top people in the industry over the years. So.
Yeah, I was just really fortunate to meet great people along the way and meet the right people. So he's great.
So were you the opening chef for Beatrix, or was there?
I wasn't. No. So Beatrix has been around just, we hit 10 years this year, and I've been with Lettuce for about 4 years now.
Okay.
So I came in, it was like 6 months before the pandemic started.
Oh.
And what was cool for me is I was still learning, right? Mm-hmm. Beatrix has four meal periods and so many moving parts. And we just stripped it down and we started from scratch. I was the line cook and I was the prep cook and I was the dishwasher. So I learned every little bit of, there's nothing that I don't know about the food or how the restaurant works. And, you know, in a strange way, I was actually fortunate to kind of go through that really tough time.
Yeah. Well, Beatrix did a lot of catering too, or, you know, meals to go during the pandemic, I remember. Because I got a few myself.
We did. We were doing it seemed like every week we were doing something different and trying to make a buck to keep the restaurant alive, right? And keep our employees employed. That was really our main focus. It was really all about people. And then secondly, how do we keep the restaurant going so we can keep the people around?
Well, you mentioned that Beatrix is an all-day restaurant and it has four meal occasions. So which is the busiest one? I know breakfast was always very jammed when I tried to go, and brunch as well. But I'm not sure if it's the busiest. I want to hear it from you.
it's brunch, hands down brunch. So weekend brunch. So Saturday, Sunday, between 8 a.m. to about 3 p.m., we in all of our or four of the five, there's one location that doesn't serve brunch because they're in the loop and they're not open on the weekends, but the rest of the restaurants, they'll do 600 plus guests, and they'll take care of that many guests throughout those 6 or 7 hours. So very, very busy.
And since you've been there, have you introduced new brunch dishes, or does the menu, I know there are some favorites on that menu, so
We have, you know, the menu's evolved over the years, especially after we got through the pandemic. That was where we started saying, you know, it's okay to change things up and do something new. Just because we've been around for 6-7 years doesn't mean we can't explore and have some fun. So, you know, we're playing around with breakfast burritos, and I made this, we actually have a menu change today, which is a lot of fun. So, you know, our menu changes throughout the seasons, three, four, five times a year, or whenever we feel like it, which is cool, right? If we just have a fun dish we want to put on the menu, then we reprint the menus. But for brunch, I'm playing around with this new Ranchero breakfast burrito. So it's kind of a healthier take on a breakfast burrito, and it's vegetarian, but it's very familiar. It has familiar flavors. Some potato, Ranchero sauce, black beans, cheesy scrambled eggs. And it's just really delicious and craveable. You know, we have that avocado toast, right? But we do it a little different. We have this smashed avocado with lime and a little bit of onion, almost like a guacamole. And then we smear it on this sprouted grain toast. And we top it with spicy seeds. So it's a mixture of dehydrated corn and actually has some dehydrated freeze-dried pineapple. So it's like crispy and sweet. Sun-dried tomatoes and all these different seeds, and then some smoked paprika and chipotle and that sort of thing. So, you know, we do a lot of the familiar classics so that our guests, you know, they know what they're going to get, but we put some healthful twists or just some fun twists on it to make it a little bit more fun.
Well, you're also known for your pastry program, and especially breakfast pastries. So do you have a separate pastry chef, or do you work with her?
We do.
Okay.
So we have a couple of pastry chefs. So Chef Yasmin Gutierrez, she's our pastry chef and partner. She's been with the concept since the beginning, since the first restaurant 10 years ago, and with the company, I think maybe like 20 years, which is really, really cool.
Wow.
And I love it because I have this really ridiculous sweet tooth to the point where sometimes I get sick because I eat so much, right? I just can't stop myself. And I love her food. And now we just hired recently a corporate pastry chef to help support her and our growth. You know, having five restaurants, and every restaurant's making all of their pastries from scratch in their own restaurant.
Really? Wow. You know?
Yeah, it's really cool. So when you walk in, what you see out in our pastry case was made on site, start to finish, which is really, really cool. So I love it. You know, there's savory stuff, there's sweet, there's breakfast, muffins. We have this savory, we call it a cruffin. So it's like a croissant dough, and then there's an egg baked in the middle with this mixture of spinach and cheese and asparagus as well. And it's super tasty. We sell out within like a couple hours every single day.
Wow, that sounds good. I don't remember that from when I used to go there, but I'll have to go back and try it.
Yeah, you got to come back. You got to come back. See us again. You know, we do a lot of seasonal stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't go anywhere right now without getting something with pumpkin in it, right? So we've got your pumpkin fix, too. We make this gluten-free cream cheese coffee cake with pumpkin in it, and it has this layer of cream cheese over the top, which is baked in and just really, really delicious.
And you have like a grab-and-go window, like a window where people can take out as well, or was that just during the pandemic?
That was more during the pandemic. We sort of took all of our pastry cases and brought them to the front of the restaurant. But now you walk in and, you know, you'll see the host stand and you'll see the pastry case. In all of our restaurants, that is a focal point. It's where the, you know, the baristas are making all the specialty coffee drinks. You know, we have maybe 5, 6, 7 different types of cookies at a given time. Our signature chocolate chunk, where Chef Yaz actually created this recipe where you crack all this toffee up into little bits and pieces, and then you fold it into the cookie dough. And then it bakes in and just gives it this really toasty, like rich toffee flavor. It's really cool.
Well, I'll definitely have to come back.
Look forward to it.
I know that, you know, brunch and breakfast are really busy, but are you able to cross-utilize any of the ingredients from the menu items you talked about and use them at dinner? I mean, what are some of the dinner signatures?
We do. Yeah, we do. So I would say cross-utilization is one of the things I think about a lot. But I try and be thoughtful about it, so that way it's not like very obvious throughout each menu. But we have to, if we want to make money, if we want our staff to have an efficient station and make it easy for them to execute our food and get the food out to our guests quickly, we have to cross-utilize. So we do that with a lot of different ingredients, with different recipes. We just use them in different ways. You know, we talked about avocado toast. So the same smashed avocado that we use on our avocado toast, we then add a few more ingredients and make it into this great guacamole and serve it as a snack, right, for lunch and dinner. I'm excited about some of the new stuff that we're adding to the menu today. And dinner is one of those meal periods for us. It's always going to be our opportunity because, as you mentioned it, we're known for breakfast and brunch. But we do a great dinner, and we're always trying to evolve our menu to bring in more guests. So I'm excited about this new dish. We have this heritage pork tenderloin. And so we get this really great quality pork tenderloin and we butterfly it and pound it so it looks like a skirt steak. And then it's marinated in this really flavorful marinade, charred up on the grill, served with chimichurri sauce over the top, sweet potato fries, and this jalapeno cilantro aioli to kind of dip in. So it's just kind of a modern, fun take on a steak frites.
I know that you're pretty moderately priced compared to some of the other, Chicago restaurants for dinner, especially. So is that something you really strive for to keep that price point?
We do. That is something we're always looking at our competition. And ideally I'd like to be a little bit under their cost, their prices, because I want to keep us busy for every, we're an all-day restaurant. We're a neighborhood restaurant, and I want us to be busy all day long, bustling, and I think offering a great value, right? We're going to put a great quality of food and ingredients onto the plate, no matter what. That's just what we do at Lettuce. That's what we do at Beatrix. But if we can do that and still make money, but give our guest a value, that's our goal. We're going to do it every single time. And I think if you compared our pricing to everyone around us, I think for the most part, I think we'll win.
And do you offer the same menu at all five locations? I know one of them is in Northwestern or very close to Northwestern Hospital. Is that one's only open during the week or is it open all the time?
It's open 7 days, but it's a little different. So we have Beatrix full service restaurants, but then we also have another concept called Beatrix Market. And Beatrix Market, they have some freestanding markets. So it's like the grab and go salad bar, hot food bar, grab and go coolers where you can get sandwiches that are made and fresh juices and chia bowls and things like that. And some of our full service restaurants also have a market attached to them as well. And so at Northwestern Hospital in Streeterville, that is one of those locations. So it's a very busy location. We do a lot of catering there. We service the hospital, but also the local guests that come into the building, right? We have a entrance off of St. Clair as well as inside of the hospital. So every location's a little different. All the menus of the restaurants are the same, except the Loop, because it's in the central business district. It's closed on the weekends because there's just not people there, right? There's no one there. So they don't serve brunch. But other than that, all of the menus are the same. Beatrix in Oakbrook, and Oakbrook Center, in the mall there, it has the same menus as we do in the city.
Are those busier for lunch than the one in the suburbs and the one in the loop?
Yes, definitely. Loop is much more lunch driven. That's what's fun about Beatrix is every location, I could tell you a story about who goes there and why they go there. In Oakbrook, a lot more families. We do our best dinner business in the suburbs, actually, because there's more families coming. And I think, the guests in the suburbs want a nice place to go for dinner. But we still do a huge brunch on the weekends. I would say that restaurant, breakfast is where we want to bring more people in.
Interesting. And do you think there'll be more Beatrix locations opening? Is that in the plans, or if you can reveal that?
At this moment, there is not like another contract signed and done. But Rich Melman and the president of our division, Mark Jacobs, are always constantly looking for new locations. And they definitely see Beatrix as a continued growth concept. So, we're starting to develop within our division other markets like Austin, Texas, Miami, Florida. And we have our sister concepts like ABBA in both of those markets. So I would not be surprised when I hear that a Beatrix is coming to Austin. But at this moment, there is nothing in the works. But they're always behind the scenes. They always have something up their sleeve.
And you also mentioned catering. Has that become a larger revenue stream? I know with the holidays coming up, there must be, you have a lot of pies to go and other kinds
Oh,
of
yeah.
holiday meals. So how is catering, part of the whole concept?
It's a big part of it, especially in those restaurants that have the markets as well. Beatrix Streeterville, in Streeterville, the Beatrix Market there does the most catering out of all of our concepts. They will have, box lunch orders and just different salads and so much food every single day. But we also have a Beatrix restaurant catering menu that features more of like the restaurant side as well. Mm-hmm. The hot food, the entrees and things like that. And that's more and more becoming popular in the suburbs and in the city and so on. So it's definitely a big part of our business and a part of our business we're continuing to grow.
And I guess the holidays are going to be a very busy time for you.
Yes. Yes. So, yes, you're right. You mentioned the pies, right? So yeah. At Beatrix, you know, we have our award-winning signature caramel pie. We have our tall, dark, and handsome chocolate cake. We do this pumpkin pecan pie. So Chef Yaz makes this pie. It's on the bottom is a traditional pecan pie. And then the top layer is a pumpkin chiffon pie. So think light, airy pumpkin pie with this really delicious shortbread crust. And then we're also doing a traditional pumpkin pie for those that just want what they always get. You know, that's just tradition.
Yeah. Well, the pecan pumpkin one sounds like the best of two worlds for sure.
I literally crave it all year long. And then we do a lot of like the talk packages, right? Where you can go on talk and you can order the entire Thanksgiving meal. So Beatrix is offering, you know, turkey with all the trimmings. We've got the stuffing, the roasted sweet potatoes, the gravy, everything, the green beans with cranberry sauce, all of that. So you just order from us. We will package it up, have it ready. So you just pop it in the oven. All you need to do is reheat it and serve it to your guests. We serve it to you cold. So that way it's ready to reheat and comes out super moist and delicious.
So do the kitchens and the restaurants produce all that food, or do you have a separate catering kitchen?
You know, they wish they didn't because it's a lot of moving parts and it's a lot of work, but they do. We do it all there. We don't have any commissary kitchens currently. I hope in the future, this is a plug for the pastry commissary. I hope at some point we can maybe have a commissary that's producing all of that stuff out of one place, and then maybe we bake the cookies in house or something like that to make it a little bit easier on our teams and also bring some more consistency. But right now, no, everything's just made in house. That's what we do.
Yeah.
We make it from scratch and we do it right there on site.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
So as we move into 2024, I mean, it's almost the holidays. What are you most looking forward to, both personally and professionally?
You know, personally, my goal is to travel more than I did last year and the last few years. My wife and I have an 8-year-old son who loves to eat out, and he's so spoiled. He lives this life like, so which lettuce restaurant do you want to go to this week for dinner? Or where do you want to try out? And, you know, he loves getting fresh pasta, loves when I make it for him at home. And so I want to take him to Italy. I want to take him somewhere that is just going to blow his mind and just continue to develop that. I mean, this kid eats A5 Wagyu beef tartare raw.
Wow.
And loves it, asks for more. He's so spoiled. But I love it because he's adventurous, right? So definitely, I think that's my number one thing this year and number one thing for our family is to travel more. When it comes to professionally in the restaurants, my goal is to continue to grow our team and provide more opportunities for everyone on our team. We have this amazing team of chefs and sous chefs and line cooks and dishwashers and everyone. And I want everyone just to continue to learn, grow, move up, and develop themselves. And just kind of gear up for more growth, because I know we have more restaurants in the pipeline over the next couple of years, whether it's Beatrix or other concepts. Mm-hmm. And I want to be a part of fueling that growth and be a part of helping everyone's career.
Thanks so much, Andrew. Definitely going to come by Beatrix on my next visit to Chicago. You can download this Menu Feed podcast and past episodes on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Pat Kobe.